Jesus a big clap of praise? Does anyone love Jesus in this place? Yeah. Wow. Wow. You guys are amazing. The team did an incredible good job leading us in to worship tonight. And I just love the thought. Stay standing just for a moment. Psalm 100 talks about that we're to enter his gates with thanksgiving and we're to come into his courts with praise. Here's the thought. What you don't come with, you have to borrow from somebody else. I love the fact that there was 90, 99% participation in worship. And when everybody comes with hunger and expectation, that's where God moves. And how many know one day in his courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere? So you made a great decision coming out on a Saturday night, because I believe God's about to do something powerful in this place. But before we ask him for anything, can we thank God for everything? Come on, if God's been faithful, if God's been good to you, come on, everyone in this place, I'm sure you got something to praise God for. Come on, give him the praise that he's worthy of. We thank you, God, for your faithfulness, for your goodness, for your grace towards us. Lord, you're so amazing. So amazing, amen. Well, so many amazing people in one room. Before you take your seat, how about high five, five different people, five different people. Line them, those elbows up, give them a high five. Well, it's so good to be in Brisbane, home of the Lions. I don't know how many people follow that sport here, but you won. I don't know if you won, but you did win. In the home of the Broncos. And I'm praying for the Broncos tomorrow night, so let's go, let's go. I really believe just conferences create an opportunity for us to get an upgrade. So many of us have been running with what we know, but God wants to give us an upgrade. How many like upgrades? Upgrades are good. And I feel like God wants to upgrade the transportation of the church. You know, I'm glad that we have cars today. Back in Henry Ford's time, he was the first one to develop a car. He said, if I just gave people what they wanted, I would have given them faster horses. How many know a car beats a fast horse? And some of us right now, we're struggling because we're relying on a horse where God goes, I got you a car. And some of us are trying to get more mileage out of that horse. For some of us, the horse is dead. It's a deal. If your horse is dead, dismount. If it's not working for you, move forward. And some of us, we've got cars, but the purposes of God require us to go overseas. And we're stuck in our car and we can't get to where God wants us to go because we're relying on the car. And God says, for this next season, you're going to need a plane because my purpose is going to take you far, far further than you ever thought. And I really believe there's an upgrade in transportation in this place. I believe there's an upgrade. In fact, Jesus said on the last day of the feast in John chapter 7, the last and the greatest day, the last and the greatest session of Summit. Come on, this is the greatest session. God's going to do something powerful in this place. He said, if anyone thirsts, come to me and drink. And he says, the Bible says, the scripture says, he who believes in me, he says, out of them will flow rivers of living water. I'm believing by the night ends, you'll go from this place and you wouldn't be just dependent on the environment that was created here, but something would spring up from within you and flow through your life. Out of your uttermost being, your inner being will flow rivers of living water. How many can believe that with me tonight? And I'm believing God's going to move in a powerful way. If you came with need, I believe God's going to meet you at that place of need and go even further and go beyond in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we've got some churches around the world, and one thing I like wherever I go is to go to local sports matches. I remember the first time going to England, and I was amazed. I went to an English football match, and the English outside of football are one person, and the English inside of a football stadium is, they're just totally different. I'm going, who are the true English? I believe if there's one place you should be able to be yourself, I believe it should be the house of God. So many of us, when we come into church, we get all serious and quiet. But if we're at a football match, if we're at a concert, you know, we let ourselves go. But there's freedom. I want to declare there's freedom in the presence of God. And I went to this match, and you know, it was a Division One match. It wasn't a Premier League match. And I was just amazed because the stadium was full before the whistle blew. It was freezing cold. We're in the stadium. It was a match against Brentford, who are now in the Premier League, and they were playing Gillingham. And we went there, and even before the whistle blew, people were singing songs. There was an atmosphere there. There was a sense of expectation. And it was an amazing atmosphere. The whistle blew, and last time the teams played, there was a bit of animosity towards one another because the opposing managers didn't shake hands at the end of the game. And so there was a bit of feeling in the crowd. Anyway, the home team, Brentford, went up 1-0 and there was a celebration. And then they went up 2-0 and it wasn't long before it was 3-0. And then these two guys who were right beside me stood to their feet and they started pointing to the opposition manager saying, "You're getting sacked in the morning. You're getting sacked in the..." And I thought, oh, that's quite funny, a bit mean, but yeah, I can see what he's saying there. And they went up 4-0, and as again, they stood there, "You're getting sacked in the morning." Next minute, whole group around them stood to their feet and started declaring the same thing, that this guy was going to lose his job in the morning. But it didn't stop there. It spread around the whole stadium, apart from a few visiting Gillingham supporters, and all of them were on their feet declaring that this guy was going to need to find a job in the morning. "You're getting sacked in the morning. You're getting sacked." And I thought, wow, a couple of guys had influence over a whole stadium. Two guys got a whole stadium declaring the same thing. That's wild. That's wild. That's crazy. Yeah, I really believe, you know, when it comes to church, you know, God wants to create a wave. How many have been to a stadium and seen the wave before? It's like the wave is an interesting thing. You know, normally it starts with two or three intoxicated people. Those realize that there's a disinterest and a dissatisfaction with what's happening in the game. Those two or three are just totally committed and they just keep on going until a whole stadium is declaring and doing the same thing. Yeah, it's like that moment of anticipation when a wave is coming towards you. It's a sight. It's like, wow, this is coming towards me. You know, you grab whatever at your disposal and in one moment of complete abandonment, you just let yourself go. It's an amazing sight to see this wave. What is the church? I believe it's a wave. Yeah, it's a wave. It's a groundswell of people. You know, so many people think what happens in a church is dictated by what happens from a stage. But I believe the greatest revivals take place not on stages, but in everyday places. You know, when people understand that they have a river on the inside of them, they have a source on the inside. They have Jesus living on the inside of them. And in the end, they're not dictated to by their circumstances, but they're empowered by what lives within them. In fact, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, we all know the scripture. It says, "You shall receive power." Somebody say power. "You shall receive dunamis power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you to be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. I believe we need a fresh touch of the Holy Spirit. I don't know about you. I don't want to do things in my own strength. You know, I don't want to lead in my own strength. I want God's anointing. I want God's power on my life. I need God's power if I'm to fulfill what God's called me to do. And here it says, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you to be witnesses." That word witness comes from a Greek word. It's a Greek word where we get the word martyr from. And really what's being said here is you will receive power to lay down your life. Lay down your life. I really believe a groundswell is going to take place. So a wave is going to happen. It's going to spread right around the world. Right now it's starting to happen in universities. there's a quiet revival happening in the UK. It's not so quiet anymore because people are hearing of it, seeing it. There's a hunger inside people. And I believe this is the season, the greatest season of the church. Come on, do I get an amen? And God wants to use you. He wants to empower you. So if we're to see a wave, what do we need to see happen, to see a wave take place? Well, first thing we need is just two or three intoxicated people. Two or three people who have been filled with the Holy Spirit, filled with His power. How do you know whether you've been filled with the Holy Spirit? You know, I believe a great way you know is when you can die to yourself. So many people give their hearts to Jesus, but their life's still their own. But my Bible says, my life is not my own. I've been bought with a price. In fact, Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 says, it's no longer I that lives, but Christ who lives within me. Over the years, I've had so many people come up to me and go, Sam, I just want to make a difference. I just really want to make a difference. And do you know, over time, I find out it's more about the I than the difference. It's I. You know, if you give me the position, if you give me the title, if you give me the recognition, if you encourage me, yeah, I'll make a difference. It's not about the difference. It's about my own self-esteem. God's looking for a people right now who'll lay down their life for the cause of Christ. And you need the power of the Holy Spirit to be able to do that. How do you know whether you're being filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, some years ago, I was out for dinner and, I like to order off a menu and just go straight for the steak. You can't beat a good piece of meat. Amen. Sorry, all the vegetarians out there. It's like I come from a dairy farmer. That was my father before he became a pastor. And so meat, yeah, go after the meat. Had a great piece of steak. Some people are getting hungry right now just even talking about it. It's like great piece of steak. Ate that. But then came the dessert menu. And they say, oh, do you want to look at the dessert menu? How many know if you're going to look at it, you're going to order? You're never just going to look. You know, oh, do you want to look? No, you're going to order something. So I looked at it, you know, ordered. I think I ordered creme brulee that day. You know, on it, there was things like apple pie. You know, there was banoffee pie. There's a whole lot of ice cream and, you know, things on there. I didn't take notice of what my friend ordered, but he ordered something. And it arrived at our table. And in front of me was put a bowl of broccoli. And I go, oh, you got that wrong. And he goes, oh, my friend said, oh, that's mine. And he had ordered broccoli. I had ordered creme brulee. He had ordered broccoli. I go, why did you order broccoli? He goes, I just felt like broccoli. Who feels like broccoli? Whoever feels like broccoli. You know, when it comes to dessert, I don't even think about broccoli. It's not even in my mind. Ice cream, apple pie, you know, as those things enter my mind. Broccoli doesn't even come into the equation. But he goes, oh, I just felt like it's. I'm allowed to have it if I want. I go, you are, but you're crazy. How do you know whether you've been filled with the Holy Spirit or not? It's when you can eat, it's when you can order broccoli for dessert. Hear me in this. See, many of us know that broccoli is a good food. Dietitians would tell you it's a power food. You know, it's something that's really good for you. Now, I can eat broccoli because I know it's good, but how many know it's not something that I desire? I don't desire it. Yeah, you know, I eat it, but I desire ice cream. I desire apple pie. I don't desire broccoli. But what happens when the Holy Spirit comes and fills your life, He takes a good thing and He makes it a desired thing. You know, some of us struggle reading our Bible and we read it because it's a good thing, but it's not yet a desired thing. But when the Holy Spirit comes into your life, you can't get enough of the Word of God. You lean into it. You'd rather read the Word of God than watch a movie. You'd rather be in the house of God than hanging out with your mates. Because you know fellowship is good, but many of us are in church because we know it's good, but it's not a desired thing. But when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, He takes a good thing and He makes it a desired thing. He changes your nature. He changes who you are. It's like this. In Isaiah chapter 11, there's a messianic prophecy. It talks about Jesus. And when Jesus comes, it talks about how the Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him, the Spirit of counsel, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of the knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. It says it will come. But down in verse 6, it gives some interesting pictures that I really didn't understand until my friend ordered broccoli for dessert. And so it says, listen to this. It says, the wolf shall dwell with the lamb. I don't know about you, but I've watched the Discovery Channel. And I've never seen the wolf dwell with the lamb. I've seen the wolf eat the lamb. But what's saying here is when the Spirit of God comes, God will change the nature of the wolf so it can dwell with the lamb. It says, the leopard shall lie down with the young goats. The question I want to ask you tonight is, can a leopard change its spots? Some of you are saying, well, I am this way. I've always been this way. I will always be this way. I can't change. My parents struggle with this. That just means I'm going to struggle with this. But when the Spirit of God comes, He changes our nature. He gives us a new bloodline. Come on, I want to declare over people, generational curses have been broken in Jesus. You have a new bloodline and it's in Him. It says the calf and the young lion and the fat leading together and a little child shall lead them. It's like a little child lead a lion. That's crazy. And it goes on and it says, the lion, listen to this, the lion shall eat straw like an ox. That's crazy. That's like a dairy farmer becoming a vegetarian. But God will change the nature. I grew up as a shy individual. I was so shy that my mom had to put my pram away from people because I didn't like being around people that much. Shyness, but I had to come to a point where I recognized that shyness was not one of the fruits of the Spirit. Now, Galatians 5, it's not love, joy, peace, patience, shyness. It's not there. But when the Holy Spirit came upon me, He changed my nature. And some of you are living according to your old nature. But when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you have a new nature. See, how do you know whether you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit? It's when you can surrender the me, the my, the I. And you can embrace the we, the our, the us. It's where you can come together. See, I believe God wants to start a wave, but it's going to require us to die to self and be empowered by the Holy Spirit. Come on, how many want to move of the Holy Spirit? I want to see it in our high schools. I want to see it in our universities. Come on, I want to see it flow through families in Jesus' name. If we're to start a wave, what do you need? You just need two or three intoxicated people. Number two, the second thing, if you're going to start a wave, you need to understand that a wave normally happens when there's a disinterest and a dissatisfaction with what's happening in the game. It's like, you've seen that? It's like the home team's winning or the home team's losing. But there's nothing much happening in the game, so everybody's going, let's just have a good time anyway. Let's have some fun anyway. And this wave starts. I really believe right now there's an opportune time in God. Opportune time, because the world has promised a lot and delivered on very little. Many people are disillusioned. You know, they thought, you know, their intellect, man's ways could solve problems. But we've found the world in a greater mess than it's ever been. And people are looking for God. They're searching for answers right now. Everybody's looking for God. They just don't know they are. But we have the ability to point people to Jesus. There's a hunger in the hearts of young people. You know, I grew up in a pastor's family. I worked out at the age of 18. By 18, I listened to over 2,000 messages. 2,000 sermons. And I used to sit there and go, oh, that's interesting. Oh, that was a good joke. Oh, that's something I never knew before. But I felt the Holy Spirit challenged me one time and he took me to John chapter 8, verse 32, where it says, you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you. Come on, how many want to live free? And I heard the Holy Spirit say to me, Sam, you've read a lot, you've heard a lot, you can quote a bit. But he said, you don't know that much. You don't know that much. See, that word know means to learn through your five senses. And while I've been around church and I heard a lot of messages, the fact is I didn't really know it in an experiential way. See, so many people can believe in God but not experience God. And what this generation more than anything is looking for is not just a belief in God, but an experience of God. I said as an 18-year-old, God, I don't want to just believe. I want to know. I want to experience. I don't want to just believe you love me. I want to feel your love. I don't want to just believe you can heal. I want to experience your healing power in my life, to which I have. I've been cured of two incurable diseases. Got diagnosed, and I've experienced God's healing power in my life. Nobody can ever take that from me. I know the truth that God is our healer. And because I know the truth, he's my healer, he set me free. See, there's a lot of people that have heard a lot, read a lot, can quote a lot, but they're not free because they haven't experienced the truth. God wants to prove himself strong. He wants to prove himself faithful. See, it's easy in this world to get overwhelmed. In fact, daily I live overwhelmed. I'm just overwhelmed by what's in front of me. If you're serving God, if you're outworking his plan, you understand his plan is bigger than your resources. His plan is bigger than your ability. If you're not overwhelmed, you probably don't have a big enough dream. But so many of us are not overwhelmed by the plan and the purpose of God. We're just overwhelmed by life. Life circumstance. And I've found what overshadows you becomes your shadow. If you're overwhelmed by all the negativity in the world, that's what you're going to project out there. You're going to project fear. But if you're overwhelmed by the love and the goodness of God, that's what's going to be your message. And time I pray, Psalm 61, when it says, God, when my heart is overwhelmed, I believe there's some people in this place, I don't know why I'm sharing this right now, but I feel there's some people, you're just overwhelmed right now. But the psalmist says, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to a rock that's higher than I. I believe God wants to take some people by the hand today, and he wants to lead them to a rock, a high place where you can see. And because where you've been overwhelmed by life, you're going to be overwhelmed by his faithfulness, by his goodness, by his love, by his power, by his strength. Come on, how many want to be overwhelmed by God? Come on, it's better than being overwhelmed by life. Overwhelmed with God. You know, if you just give God an opportunity, you know, sometimes we don't even give people a chance to respond. I love a story. Once my wife was at her hairdresser's, not mine because I don't need one, but she was getting her hair cut and she was just sharing her faith, talking about Jesus. And the hairdresser said, I don't know. And my wife just said, well, if you seek after God, you will find him. If you seek, the reason why many people don't find is because they don't seek. But if you seek, you will find. And so the hairdresser just said to herself, well, you know, if God's real, feathers would just show up. She said, feathers would show up in random places. So anyway, they had the haircut left. The hairdresser was sweeping up the hair at the end of the day. And in the hair, she didn't cut any bird, but there was a feather in the hair. She just sort of dismissed it. Oh, that's just coincidental. Anyway, the next day she gets up and she needs to fill her car with petrol, and she goes to pay for the petrol. She opens the purse, and in the purse there's a feather. She freaks out so much. She goes, I don't want anything to do with this God stuff. That's just too freaky. She told my wife, no, I don't know. For a year my wife was trying to encourage her to come to church. A year later she finally came to church. She dropped her kids off the kids program. She went and sat in the balcony of where we were meeting. And before the service starts, she just looked down at her feet. And sure enough, there was a feather there. A year later, that day she gave her heart to Jesus. That day she responded. See, I believe if people seek him, they will find him in a powerful way. Many people don't see miracles because they don't believe for miracles. Come on, how big is your God? How big? He can do anything. Nothing's too difficult for him. And we've got to give people not just the ideology. So many people's Christianity is just an empty ideology. We need to go from just having a belief to having an experience of God. Come on, if we're going to start a wave, what do we need? Two or three intoxicated people. Number two, we need to realize that there's a disinterest and a dissatisfaction with what the world has to offer. And then number three, if we're going to start a wave, we need to just a group of people who are just totally committed. Yeah, you see, some guys go to a stadium and they try and start a wave. How many know it takes more than one person? You actually need two or three to get above the noise of the crowd. And those two or three people go, come on, let's do it. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Like that. One voice is not going to cut it. It's going to need more. Sometimes leaders in churches, come on, we're going to do the summit. Come on, we're going to do this. We're going to reach our well for Jesus. And they do a countdown. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Where's everyone? It's going to take agreement. Come, Matthew 18 says, if two or three agree in my name, he'll give them whatever they ask for. Two or three, just agreement is powerful. I love the story found in Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, Mary and Joseph were returning from the feast. They've been at the feast. They're returning home. Jesus was a young boy at the time. And the Bible says they were one day's journey down the road. One day's journey, that's quite a long journey, down the road before they realize, hey, Jesus is missing. Jesus, I've lost my daughter in a mall for 10 minutes. That seems like a long time. They hadn't lost their child for 10 minutes. They had been a whole day's journey down the road before they realized Jesus was missing. Here's the thought. Don't do a day without Jesus. Some of you go through your whole day and you don't even know Jesus has been missing. You haven't even invited Jesus into your world. But here's where the problem was. The problem was Mary thought Jesus was with Joseph. Oh, don't worry, Joseph's got Jesus. But the problem was Joseph thought Jesus was with Mary. Hear me right. It was until they came together, they didn't know what they were missing. You know, some of us, you know, we're like, oh, Pastor Mark's got Jesus. Oh, somebody else, my small group leader's got Jesus. I can do a day without Jesus. Well, what if none of us have got Jesus? What if Jesus is missing in all those different environments? See, it was until they came together, they didn't know what they were missing. There's something in God that only can be discovered through coming together. That's why summits are so important. It's not just another thing in the church calendar. We need to come together in ways like we've never come together before, because it's unity that releases the blessing of God. It releases the plan of God. And it's as we come together in agreement, we see God do things that could never happen otherwise. It's going to take more than one person. We need to come together. Yeah, I love the fact that Jesus, when they found Jesus, he goes, oh, of course, you know, I was about my father's business. I was in my father's house. Here's the deal. If you ever lose Jesus, go back to the house of God. Go back to the house of God, because that's where you're going to discover where Jesus is. But if we're going to start a wave, we just need two or three people who are just totally committed. You know, so many people have got opinions today on this and that. It's like I found there's many different roads that lead to Rome. We could sit here forever and debate the best way to get there. Or we could just get on the road. Get on the road, get in an agreement, and we'll see God's favor and God's blessing. One thing I love about Germany, we've got churches in Germany, is the Autobahn. The Autobahn is amazing because it has no speed limits. In our nations, we have speed limits. But one thing I've noticed about Germans is they drive according to the rules. You know, they don't stay in the fast lane. If they pass somebody, they pull over straight away. In our country, at least, you know, people think they've got a right to drive in the fast lane when they're not even going the speed limit. Come on, people think, you know, truck drivers think they can just go on the fast lane. But in Germany, there's no trucks in the fast lane. Wouldn't that be a better world? Yeah, you know, it's just like, and there's no speed limit. And do you know, there's the same level of casualties and their nation has that, but they don't have any limits. Because everybody's going, well, it doesn't matter what I think. Yeah, I'm just going to embrace the plan. And there's a spirit of unity. And it brings about the blessing of God. See, if we're going to start a wave, what do we need? Two or three intoxicated people who realize there's, you're hearing me tonight, a disinterest and dissatisfaction with what the world has to offer. Those two or three people just need to be totally committed. And number four, last one, and we'll finish here. Those two or three people just need to keep on going, even amongst a limited response. Any cricket fans out there? Cricket fans out there, you know, some people arrive at a cricket game, a test match, 5-day match. It's like, you've got to be a fan to watch a 5-day match. You've got to be a fan. But they arrive there, and you see them early in the day. There's hardly anybody in the stands, and they're trying to start a wave. They're going, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, hey. You swear they're not even there to watch the game. They just want to start a wave. They want to start a wave. The ground starts filling up, and they're going again. They start over here, come on, let's start this wave. Okay, let's go. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, hey. Oh, well, this is a useless side. I might try this side over here. Because and they go again. They don't just stop there. They go, okay, let's try and start a wave. Okay, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, hey. Okay, we've got a bit of traction here. We've got a bit of movement. And so they go again. They don't stop. They go again. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, hey. Whoa. But eventually, what happens? It dies out. And when it dies out, all the people got in and go, boo, boo. By the way, where does a wave often start? It often starts in the cheap seats. It starts in those spaces. It's like those new to the whole thing. Yeah, it starts there and it goes around, hits one stand, often die out, but they go again. Come on, let's do it again. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, hey. Okay. Oh, we're almost there. But it goes around the stadium. Guaranteed without doubt, a wave will always die at one place. It will always die at the members' stand. They're the ones who used to play the game but no longer play the game. They look at the cheap seats. Oh, look at all those young Christians having fun over there. I've been there, done that. Bought the t-shirt, got a little bit cynical now. It's like, no, I'm not going to enter in. And the dangers, we sit in church and we go, oh, look, oh, it's so good for all those young people. You know, I've been there before. Yeah, I've experienced that. But we haven't given God permission to do something new in our life. But I love the fact that they'll start again. They'll go, come on, we've got to get this whole stadium doing the same thing. And they go, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, hey. Yeah. Okay, well, if you sat, if you didn't do it, member. No. But here's the thing. What I've seen happen is sometimes it'll go around, hit the member stand, jump the member stand, and just keep on going until the members get involved. Here's the deal. If you don't get involved, if you don't step up, God will just overlook you. Do you know there was whole generations between the New Testament, the Old Testament, and the New Testament that lived, that breathed, that existed, but their lives were never recorded? Never recorded. I don't know about you, but I don't want that to happen for my generation. Just to be overlooked. Come on, I believe God wants to do something sovereign. Come on, I believe we're living in a season where we're going to see the greatest moves of God that we've ever seen before. Yeah, it's like, man, at the beginning of the year, just the churches in our city with a call to pray, just to pray and to worship, called Open Heaven. It started for the first time here in Brisbane, but we had 11,000 people, 11,000 tickets allocated 2 weeks before the event. People were struggling to get tickets to a prayer meeting. There was a black market for tickets to a prayer meeting. How many of you know something is happening when people can't wait to get in the house of God to worship, to pray, to lift them up. All of a sudden, we filled the largest venue. I remember a time we were prophesying that one day all the largest venues in our city will be filled with the people of God, lifting up worship to the one who's worthy of our worship. We all worship. As a sports match, there's great worship. At a concert, there's worship. But some of those things aren't worthy of our worship. It's only Jesus who's worthy of our worship. And I love the fact that we're filling those spaces now with people who are just praying. No speaker, no introductions, no thank yous. Just with people worshiping and praying for a move of God. We're seeing it take place right now in 8 different cities around our country. In Christchurch, a city of 400,000, we set the arena for 5,100 people. 5,400 people showed up to a prayer meeting. In places like Dunedin, small places, you have 1,500 people. There's a hunger right now for a wave. It's taking place with our young people in high schools. High school students are praying outside the gates of their high school. Seen a revival. We just recently in our home church, you know, hosted an uprising, and we do this every quarter and get 1,100 teenagers out, of which 200 gave their hearts to Jesus. We're living in the greatest season of the church. Come on, we need to be excited by what God's doing. Come on, I believe we can start a wave. Come on, you may be the only Christian in your family. You could start a wave if you're filled with the Holy Spirit. You may be the only Christian in your workplace. With 2 or 3 getting in agreement, you could start a wave where God comes and brings transformation and brings life. Come on, Jesus is the one who's able to turn deserts into rivers. He's able to flip the script. And there's something inside each and every one of us when we believe in Him. The Bible says Jesus declared on the last day, out of you shall flow rivers of living water. It's like, man, I can't even push this down. Yeah, the more in me, it's like, it just flows out of me. Flows out. I've got to do something. I can't sit back. You don't think about your insecurity. You just step in to the flow of God. Come on, how many want to start a wave? Just turn to your neighbor and go, you want to start a wave? Come on, we can start a wave right now. We can start a wave. We can start a wave. Come on, I really believe in this place, something's going to be unlocked in Jesus' name. Come on, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Come on, hey. Come on, how about standing to your feet right now? If we could have the musicians come out.